empty in their souls, searching for a way that is true. Their lost and lonely eyes are looking for some help. Why not let it be you who leads them to Jesus, their souls he'll set free. He will change their destiny. You can make a difference in this world. You can find those precious hidden pearls lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. You can make a difference in them. So many souls abound by the chain of sin and strife, they're fighting for a life that is free. They're lost within this world, just waiting to be found. Why not let it be me who searches to find them, the gospel to share. Eternal freedom can be there. You can make a difference in this world. You can find those precious hidden pearls, lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. Hidden pearls, lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. We can make a difference in them. We can make a difference in this world.
Did we have a handout tonight, guys? Was there a handout for the lesson? You have it? Did we pass it out? Okay, good. All right, it is late, and we're going to have a dessert fellowship afterwards, and I don't want to keep you real late, and it's basically just a reminder of things. Can I get a little more monitor, Oscar? I'm not one to complain too much, but it's a little, oh, hey, that's good, that's good. The only complaint I would actually have is that Raul's right there. That's a huge one. All right, let me just read a few verses here, and then I'm just going to briefly go through this outline, thoughts that we understand, and we'll talk a little more about the building on Sunday, but I just want us to kind of get it. Thank you for the song, Karina, that was perfect. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, and David and Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, out of the hand of all their enemies." Look at the verses there. I'm going to save a little time. I'm not going to read them all. You can read through. I'll explain the story. Look at verse 8. We'll read 8 through 10 there. "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon," David's giving him a charge, "and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. And if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Verse 10. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the wonderful fellowship food we've had tonight already. Thank you for this great group of people here in this wonderful, wonderful church. Help us to understand, Lord, the task at hand, and I pray that you would do something great and mighty in our hearts, but in our lives and in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. In these texts, we see two different admonitions that I want us to look at. The first one was when David became king over all Israel. Saul had died. God had promised the kingdom to David, already anointed him for the kingdom. After Saul died, his son, one of his sons took over. That was kind of a disaster. He's dead. Abner's kind of working it all together, and he's trying to get all the tribes together to make David the one king. And he tells them together, and basically he tells them, he goes, look, you know that David's the one that's supposed to be king. You already know it. It's there. We've delayed. We haven't done it. And then he tells them in verse 18, now then do it. He's like, just do it. You know what has to be done? Do it. Isn't that Nike's phrase? Isn't that Nike phrase? Just do it. In 1 Chronicles 28, David is getting towards the end of his life. It's now time for Solomon to take over. And David had wanted to build the temple, and God said, no, you've been bloody, you're a battler. We're going to have your son do it. So David, even though he couldn't build the temple, he prepared for it. When he had fought battles, he got the spoils of battle. He saved it. He put some of his own treasures in on that. And now he's given Solomon a charge. And I like what he says. It almost reminds me of the phrase when they told David to be king. He said, be strong and do it. Okay? It's like there comes a time, it's like, do it. You know David's supposed to be king. Do it. You know that, I'm telling you, I've prepared for you. You're the man. You're supposed to build the temple. Be strong and do it. Get it done. Say, why'd you pick those verses? That is how I feel. Let's do it. Okay, let's get this thing done. Yep. What's it going to take? By the way, and it's not finished because you haven't given or anything. We've had some... I know you're supposed to be patient. God's trying to teach me that, but I just don't have time, all right? We've had some things that it is what it is. But we can do what we're supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And God will speak to us. As we look at it, I want us all to stand together to finish, to stand together and to do it. Why and how is what's all involved with that standing together to get it done? Three thoughts, four things under each thought, and literally, we'll be out of here in 10 minutes. These are just reminders, okay? Do it. You say, okay. Number one, stand together in vision. We need to stand together in vision. What we have to do. Vision. What is vision? Vision is seeing uniquely what God wants us to accomplish now and in the future, primarily in the future, and saying, let's just get it done. Vision. Now, vision's great, but vision's got to come to pass. But it starts with the vision. When Nehemiah, we preached on Nehemiah sometime recently, one or two weeks, because that's all I've been back. But after he went back to Jerusalem, he went out there by him with some of his guys, and then he kind of snuck away from them and looked around and saw the wall and everything was going on and what needed to be done, and God gave him a vision that they could get done. He saw the wall already done, or he saw the wall that it could be done, and God gave him that vision. But we had to do some things. What is it that will drive us in our vision to make this, not just this building, although this is what we're talking about in our church, a reality? Letter A, to strengthen families. Families are under attack. Okay? How many of you live in a perfect family? I'm not putting my hand up. How many of you live in a perfect family? How many of you were raised in a perfect family? Okay? Now, I realize, John, put your hand down. I know you're signing, but that's a lie. And I understand that some families, maybe because they're close to the Lord, and some had tougher times in their families. But listen, families are under attack today. Everywhere you go, marriage is outdated. People want to live together. A marriage is being redefined. Gender's being redefined. It's a mess. And what happens is our society is buying into that mess. And so if they don't know the Lord, they set out. It amazes me, and I'll be kind here. It amazes me. People don't know how to take care of their little devils. In the average home, that little 2 or 3 year old runs the house. We've bought the lie. You know, you can't tell your kids what to do. You can't try to push them to do something that's right, because after all, you're preaching to them. That's a lie. Okay, it's a lie. Train up a child. And what is the fruit of that? Just look at our society. And they don't like to hear it, but we have a bunch of snowflakes. And I'm not against millennials, I, because we always talk about millennials. In my time, we were the baby boomers. So there's a name for everybody. Now, millennials, you have kind of grown up with stuff we didn't grow up with, but the problem isn't millennials. The problem is what they're learning out in society. The same thing my generation, which is not much different than millennials, just don't push me over the edge yet, which is the same thing my baby boomer generation was catching too. It's just that there's a lot more pitfalls now, yep. Right? There's just a lot more stuff out there. But you know what? We have the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. And I wonder how many families are not going to get help because there's no one out there to help them. That's what we want our church to be about, to help strengthen families. Our families in our church and our families going out. Let her be. We want to change our area. This area needs the gospel. It does. I forget the words in the song, Karina, but it talked about change their destiny or eternal destiny or whatever. By the way, you know, hell is a real place. If you want something that will just boggle your mind, when you lay down, you probably won't sleep. Lay down and think about it tonight. Seriously. When a person dies without Christ, instantaneously, they are in hell. And they will never, ever get out. Think about eternity. Someone likened it to a bird flying from the moon to the earth and picking up one grain of sand and taking it back to the moon and then coming and getting another grain of sand. How long would it take them to get all the sand in the Sahara Desert? And even if that was true, eternity would still just be starting. Yeah. Now, let's flip it from a negative to a positive. Heaven's a real place too.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Yes. And the second a person dies, they're with the Lord. And it's far better than anything this earth can ever produce. But if people don't know it, well, who's going to tell them? That's us. That's our goal. We want to change our area. And then once they get saved, praise the Lord, their lives can be changed. Letter C, to reach the world. We want not just to make a difference here, we want to make a difference in this world. That's why it's important that this church stay strong. It's why important our kids are in our Christian school getting trained, learning. Now, is Bible drill team? No, they're going to learn A, B, and C and all that stuff. But listen, they're going to have a lot better chance to make it. Yes. Getting into the college and finding God's will for their life, something more. You say, well, what if they go to our school and go to our college and God doesn't call them to ministry? Then they're going to be a part of this church, involved in ministry here, sharing the gospel and helping to support missionaries worldwide. But we've got to be involved with that. Very important. By the way, we just sent out Luis and Awana. They're living right now in the D city. What's the? It's Duarte? Not Duarte. The other one. It's up north. And then they're going to start preparation. They're going to go into Visalia and start a church reaching Spanish speaking people in Visalia. Okay, that needs to happen. Everywhere, and then in this world. And then letter B, to enlarge our church. What does that mean? As I just mentioned, okay, if we're going to make a difference out there, we have got to be strong and growing and vibrant and getting after it here. Yes, sir. The building's a big part of that, okay? I'm telling you, once we get that building done, we're going to have a lot more resources, energy to really, really even get to more, but to enlarge our church. By the way, we can never just be worried about what's going on here.
Yes, sir.
But, and that's, by the way, it's vitally important, but we do need to be concerned that we stay strong here and reach everybody we can. You don't know who you're going to reach that's going to come here, and maybe they're older, but their children are going to be here. They're going to get called to pastor a church or go to the mission field because they were reached here. This is where it starts. And we get them out there, but we want to work on that. Number two, I'm going fast as I can. Please forgive me. Stand together and focus. Focus. So the first one was vision. That's what we have to do. We have to do that. That's really the gospel in a nutshell. But we need to stand together and focus what we need to do. This is practical. Let me just make it easy. We need to move in. We need to get into that building. We need to get that thing done and make it easier for us to reach people and have classroom space. Okay? We got to do that. We need to move in. The building is not the building is a tool, and it's just real simple. You say, what do we got to do to get it done? We need money.
Yep.
You want me to lie? Okay? We need prayer, but you know what we need? We need prayer without wallets is dead being alone.
Yep.
Now you say, is all you guys do is ask for money? No, but this is a building program. This is about the building. Okay? And by the way, this is your church, this is my church, and I am fully vested.
Come on. Amen.
Okay? And I hope, and you say, well, what do you want you to do? I want you to do what God will want you to do and what God will allow you to do. That's it. That's all I want. But we need to see it like, let's just tighten the grips. Let's do what we can. Let's do it. Okay? We need letter B to reach out, as I already said. By the way, there are people, and Tim had mentioned some, and people come by like, and I don't know why they wait for this. It's like, we're waiting for the new building to be built, and we're coming. It's like, well, get in here now, all right? Try to get them here now, but there are some that are, there'll be people, we're going to have a big push too. We're going to pass out a bunch of invitations. We're going to flood this area, we're going to flood the city, and some people will come for the curiosity's sake, but guess what will happen? Some will get saved, some might be Christians that are away from God, they'll like, you know, I need a church. There's some nice people here, most of them. And, you know, I'm going to be a part of this. So we need to reach out. We need to go out. Letter C, we need to go forward. We need to go forward, okay? We got to look at the future. We cannot be content with the past. Well, you know, that's kind of nice. And by the way, our church has always done stuff. We had church outside for 6 years under a tarp, not even a tent. We upgraded our building one time. My father-in-law built a big tarp for his lawn on his farm, just some poles he made himself. It was really pretty genius. And he put a tarp over it, and he used it for his parents' 50th anniversary celebration, and I went up there and we stayed with them, and I helped them set it up, and after we were done, I said, can we have that? That's better than the auditorium we have. We had like little thin rods that we welded, and they kept breaking. We had to re-weld them and tape them with duct tape. Duct tape fixes everything. And so my father-in-law goes, yeah, you can have it, just ship it. So we shipped it, and we got a brand new auditorium. I wish it was that easy now, okay? And we put it up, but you know what? We did stuff like that. People sitting outside and classes outside. Listen, that needs to end someday. It really does.
Yeah.
Now it'll probably end up where we'll be putting little tents inside of the gymnasium. We'll have Sunday school classes there. But you'll be indoors, okay? But we need to, we need to go on, all right? That's what we need. We need to go forward. And by the way, while we're building the building and doing everything, let's go forward too. Letter D, we need to look inward. What do I mean by that? What is your part? I'm telling you, all I want in our church is 100%, well, I want a lot of things, 100% participation.
Yep.
And we have a lot of Sunday, when you're a church that's constantly reaching on Sundays, you're going to have a lot of newer people, right? And I understand that. That's fine. But I just would like everybody that comes to this church with any regularity to say, I'm going to be involved in some way. Now, for those of us that are a little more mature, it's like, I want you to be involved in a huge way. Whatever God can help you to be involved. But all of us working together. Let's look inward. Let's find our part. And it's not just in giving. We need to find our part in the church. What's our ministry? What are you doing? reaching out to people. All right, number three, we're done. We need to stand together in action. In action, what we will do. By the way, if all we have is vision and focus without action, nothing happens. You have a vision, you know what you want to do, and you're never going to do it. Okay, it's kind of, it's like I went to Bible college in the very first class, here, you know, all the freshmen, and it was a leadership class. It was personal finances. And they're like, first day of class, like, everybody, you have an assignment already. By next class, you need to turn in a budget. Look at all your bills, your income, blah, 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 blah. And so I went there. I made a budget, blah, 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 blah. I turned it in. I got an A. He gave it back. I put it in the drawer. And that was the end of that. It was worthless. It was on paper. I could have made an airplane out of it. It would have been better. That's how most things are. You got a vision. We're focused on the vision. Well, what are we going to do? Okay? I'm glad you asked. Letter A. Pray for God's moving. Please pray. Pray. Pray that God would do something. I hope that you take advantage of all the prayer opportunities. You say, what is the big deal? Does it really make a difference if we all pray for 10 minutes all 5 days next week? Now, I hope you pray for the building regularly. Could you imagine 500-600 people in our church with the kids, the teenagers, and everybody? Well, actually, probably more. We got the Spanish. Some of the bus kids. You imagine that many people praying every day? Do you think that would get God's attention? I think so. What about all the adults and you teenagers, your kids? I'm not going to harp on you too much. You know, fasting on the day together. Hundreds of people saying, Lord, we're not eating today. We're going to pray a little extra because we need you to do something. Do you think that that might get God's attention? Okay, let's do it. Okay, letter B. Provide for God's glory. Okay. You know, a lot of people are like, I'm in. Sign me up for the prayer. And then we'll give you the envelope for May 20th. And it's like, I prayed. Okay. But what are you going to do? Find out how God can allow you to be a part of this. It's important. And I'm not asking for this for myself. And I'm not asking you to do anything more or less than what I'm doing. Unless you have a lot more money than me, then go ahead, give more. Amen. But it could just be the person that gives less, who gives a higher percentage, actually is giving more. But we all need to do that. Let's be a part of this. Remember this quote someone told me once, or I read somewhere. It said, God will give more through us than to us. Yes, think about that. When God sees a giver, and I think and someone that's willing and wants to, I think God helps provide just a little bit more so they can do it. Letter C. Be present for God's work. What does that mean? That just means I want to be a part of what God's doing. I'm in. There are some people that sit on the sidelines and say, wow, I like what's going on. Now, there are some people that sit on the sidelines and say, what in the world is going on? But there are some people that say, I want to be a part of it. Yep. It's exciting. I remember one time I was on my bus route when I was in Bible college, and we were having a huge day. And so I was out there, and there's a bunch of kids, and I got them all round up. Listen, we're having a big day. We were going to have, like, all carnival or something. We're going to have a carnival. We're going to have fun. And they were all getting fired up, and a kid came in late. And they heard what I was saying, and all the kids were screaming, yeah, let's go, yeah, I want to go, and this kid, yeah, I want to go. And we all got done. He looks, where are we going? Like, I forgot to tell him we're going to church, okay? But they were all fired up, okay? We can get fired up, but let's be a part of it. Yep. Let's say, God's doing something is one thing. You hear about people getting saved. You got to come out and see it. You got to be a part of it. You know, wow, well, God's doing something in the building. Hey, when we start building and we need us to go out there, let's go be a part of it. You say, I have no idea what I'm doing. Listen, I had no idea what I was doing either. I was walking through the building there and we was going through the stairs. And I remember myself and Mario, he moved up north. And I think Chris, we framed those stairs. Say, did you guys know what you're doing when you're starting? Absolutely not. I was clueless, but we figured it out. They showed us how to do it. And like, it was fun. Okay. Putting up stuff and drywall and screws up on the wall and you name it, we did it. Okay, my favorite part was digging the holes. Just so that the inspector could come out and say, I don't like them, and then it would rain. and we had to dig out the mud and start over. Those were blessed days. Letter D, let's partner for God's church. What do I mean by that? The name of the campaign is standing together. Let's all stand together. Amen. Let's just be together. More gets done in bigger groups than in smaller groups. More gets done when a group of any size is united and standing together. Let's all be, don't have the thought someone else will do it. When everybody thinks someone else will do it, nobody does it. Okay? Let's just say I have a part and I want to be a part of this, and I'll stand together with my church. And it's, I don't know what I can do compared to others, and it's irrelevant what you do compared to others. Because this isn't a compare, and it's between you and God. It's like, but I'm in. I'm part of it. I want to be a part of what's going on here. You know, I wish we could just, you know, talk about, you know, the Bible and Proverbs tonight and all that stuff. But this is a phase of our life that our church is in, and it's going to help us in the future. And there'll be a day when that building is done, and we'll look back at it and we'll remember all the years with misery. Just kidding. Fondness for all that happened and all that God did. But right now, this is just where we're at. And so let's be a part of it. Let's stand together this evening. Thank you for letting me go a little bit longer than I presumed.